We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
The reality is we've got to leap forward and think about our customers sitting on their couches, making their commute to work, having their phone in their hand wherever they go. And how do you show up as a retailer in a customer-centric mindset, digitally first?
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on this episode of Retail Gets Real, we're talking to Paige Thomas, President and CEO of Saks OFF 5TH, about the company's digital strategy and what it's like to lead in this rapidly changing industry. So Paige, Thomas, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you, Bill. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
We're so glad that you're here. And, you know, Saks OFF 5TH, you're doing a lot of innovative things at that company. But before we get into that, I think that there's a story that I'm interested to hear, and I'm sure our listeners are very interested to hear as well. It's about Paige Thomas. What is your journey, your career journey? How did you end up where you are today?
Sure. I'll try not take you through all of the gory details. You know, I started in traditional department store. What I love when I think back about, you know, my journey and some of my experiences, I was very lucky and probably a bit thoughtful too about the choices that I made. I always say sort of own your outcome. And in that, I had a couple of really wonderful experiences. One, I spent almost 10 years at Kohl's Department Store. When I joined that organization, I thought I'd really grown up at 384 stores. And when I decided to take on a new journey and went back to the West Coast, it was 1,160 stores. So the growth trajectory, while I was there, I had unbelievable experiences and learnings. And then I joined Nordstrom. Always been a customer as I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, had unbelievable admiration for that organization, as I still do, in how they treat the customer in particular. And that was really a wonderful experience in that story that I was introduced really for the first time to the off-price industry. And I can tell you today that discovery and experience is absolutely influenced me joining Saks OFF 5TH and taking on this role. I believe it's one of the most authentic retail industries. It's very grounded in relationship and thinking about your customer with price integrity. And you get an immediate response from the customer based on the really good product that you deliver. Like it's amazing how quickly you can see the treasure hunt, I call it, find, and how customers respond so instantaneously. So that really was the opportunity that kind of led me to Saks OFF 5TH. I would say one more thing in my experiences, because it's become a theme for me, and I think it's relevant probably for some of the discussion that we'll have. Those experiences that I had, particularly with Kohl's and Nordstrom Rack, was about a growth engine and building and going somewhere that you hadn't been before. Nordstrom Rack in particular launched Rack.com. And I saw that same opportunity at Saks OFF 5TH to really build, have a unique positioning and go somewhere new. And I think that that's a characteristic that I love to lead.
Paige, you know, you haven't been in the business forever. And yet, think about the change in just that short period of time. I mean, that's just extraordinary when you think about where you started, where you went, and where you are, and how the retailers are working with customers, and how the customers are working with retailers, and the different availability in terms of those interactions across all different platforms. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And that's one of the great things about the industry. I think you'd agree.
Oh, I completely agree. Absolutely.
You know, last summer, Saks OFF 5TH established the e-commerce business as a separate entity with you at the helm. Now, can you talk about the strategy behind that?
Absolutely. It has been an exciting journey in in 2 years, I look back and think of some, you know, unbelievable milestones. But this one was very strategic, very and very exciting. So as you said, in June, we separated the e-commerce business as a standalone operating entity. We had the opportunity to work with Insight Partners, who led a $200 million investment into the business. And we saw a significant opportunity to really drive this fast-growing luxury online potential. And that really started to build what I call the management story, the Saks OFF 5TH story. And we had this opportunity where we would say these kind of two powerful, you know, secular trends that were coming together. No question that, you know, online business has been growing, but for sure during the pandemic, it took unbelievable step changes, right? So you've got this online e-commerce growth. And when you look back in, you know, the retail industry, off-price has been one of the most consistent performing trends as well. From a retail perspective, whether you're brick and mortar or even the small percentage of us that are playing in online. So we saw this unbelievable opportunity to really sort of tell the story and how do we supercharge our growth. And we got a lot of attention and had a wonderful experience and locked arms with a new investor with Insight Partners. And we see this really unbelievable opportunity to drive the growth and really invest in what we believe is a white space opportunity. Mm. So where off-price is growing consistently, the key players within the industry, very few of them are actually playing in the e-commerce business. Part of that, I would say a big portion of that is grounded in some of the price position and being able to be profitable in an online business that has a lot of digital operations and expense structure within that. And where we sit with serving a luxury customer and a higher average order value, this model plays out for us. And that is really what was the key strategy and how could we capitalize on the growth potential very quickly. That's our journey that we're on.
It's really interesting to me. When I think about the Saks experience, whether it's, you know, Saks OFF 5TH or, you know, Saks in New York, the experience is very tactile. I mean, you're seeing things, you're touching things, you're talking to people about the item. How do you replicate that, or how do you get the customer to feel like I'm having the same Saks experience online as I would in store?
No, I think it's a great question. You know, the way that we think about it is it's part of our strategy and customer experience and all the touch points that matter. And how do you make customers feel good in the things that are important to them? Within the Saks OFF 5TH strategy, we think about that from a merchandising perspective, right? So what are the most coveted brands that we can offer our customers at the most amazing price? And what we do know about customers, particularly the work that we've done with our customer, is they have their favorite brands and they know them really well. And so when they get a deal, you can create that moment for the customer that says, oh my gosh, I got this unbelievable deal. And that creates an experience. Then when you think about the customer experience from, you know, checkout on, you know, a website checkout to working, you know, your mobile app. We launched an app this spring and we had 800,000 downloads in 8 months for 2021.
That's fantastic.
That's how consumers shop, right? They research, they want to experience, but your app's got to work. I mean, to be clear, Bill, right? Like that creates the experience. And then you get to the other part of the customer journey, which is how quickly do I get my product? How easy is it to return? And we're still very, you know, when we think of Saks OFF 5TH and the customer, we think of it through an omni lens. While we have two separate operating companies, we have customers, over 60% of our customers return in store.
Yep.
And so that's an experience that's important to them and how we bring that to life. So the customer journey, the pain points and barriers is what we're focused on to make it easy and convenient for them to find their most favorite brands at a great price.
Yeah, easy and convenient being the key, I think. You know, people's time is still people's time. And even during this whole period of pandemic where things have been kind of turned upside down, people still you know, they don't have a lot of time to be fooling around. They want to do what they need to get done in the time that they want to get it done and pay the price they want to pay and be able to navigate that pretty easily in an online experience. And obviously, you've done a phenomenal job at that.
Absolutely. And you think of the amount of people that are working from home, that's actually created a greater amount of stress, right? With supporting families, everyone in the house, how are you getting your groceries and moving?
So people printing things when you're trying to tape a podcast, that kind of, that's an added stress. I get it.
I love it.
Well, so, you know, let me think. It was February of 2020 when you took the helm at Saks OFF 5TH?
That is correct. February 17th, 2020.
Oh my God. You had like 1 month before everything. Wow.
That is exactly it.
You know, the pandemic era has taught us a lot. I mean, a lot, all of us on a personal level, on a professional level. And, you know, one of the most important lessons are lessons in leadership. I happen to work for an organization that is led by some extraordinary people, particularly our president and CEO, and stepping up and doing what needed to be done to get people through a level of uncertainty that nobody really had ever experienced before. What do you think, Paige, makes a successful leader?
I love this question. And I think that it became one of the most important topics in navigating through the pandemic. And I would say for me, even personally and professionally, taking my first CEO position and really being the go-to, right? And so you sort of carry the weight. I will tell you, it was the most challenging time personally and professionally. And I can tell you that I have learned more in the last 22 months than I could have ever imagined. But when I think about leadership, you know, one of the first things, particularly as a new CEO, and you aren't the expert within all the business functions, and you have these decisions that are coming at you, is to really listen. And I think that how do you, you know, leverage your team? How do you get everybody at the round table and ask the right questions so that you're really clear on the problem you're trying to solve and what are the options and the potential unintended consequences that you're working through? So active listening for me was really important. And at times you get to the end of the day, right? You were exhausted.
Sure.
I think of transparency, not different than communication, to be vulnerable, to be empathetic, to be clear on what we're trying to accomplish or what we're faced with. And so the transparency and communication, I felt like you couldn't do it enough. People wanted to know sort of where they were at, where we were going, what was in front of us. And then I think about, you know, just I'm a huge fan. I'm a sports fan too. I grew up, you know, getting exposed to a lot of that. And so teamwork, right? Mm-hmm. Just like, two heads is better than one, and three heads is better. And what I found, particularly during this time period, is that we were faced, and leaders in particular, were faced with making really tough decisions that they hadn't made before. So at times in your career, you've got a new assignment, and you've kind of faced that thing, and you've got a toolkit that you've built out, and it may not look exactly like that, but you can pull from it. And we were running into things that we had never experienced before. So the agility, you know, that you had to apply in that environment from a leadership perspective, I think was critical.
You know, it's you hit every correct point in terms of leading through this experience. And we found that not only just with working with our, you know, colleagues, but certainly what consumers were expecting from their brands, which was be transparent, tell me what you're doing, how you're doing it, how you're going to keep me safe if I come to your store, and I will shop there. But if you don't tell me, I'm not coming there. I will go somewhere where I feel safe. And so it was that clarity, it is that transparency, and it is that level of communication that I think helped get us all through that, whether as an associate or as a customer or a consumer. You know, you think about the retail industry, and we talked about this very early on, and the changes in the industry. And I always say that if you don't like change, you don't work in retail, because there's only one constant in retail, and that's change. And you can either embrace it, run with it, and succeed as a result of it, or you can get angry about it, get frustrated because of it, push back against it, And then you just need to find another job in another industry. What do you, when you think about, and this is so hard, this is a really a difficult question, to be honest, 5 to 10 years out, how does the industry evolve, do you think?
Oh my gosh, I love your comment of if you can't handle change, then you should really not be in this business. And I've actually had a, randomly, that just so resonated with me, had a, I can't even remember the reading I had, which was about leadership in retail in particular. When you think about the capabilities, it is 50% is change management.
Yep.
So Bill, I think you hit that one on the head. Listen, I think about, you know, what to expect over the next kind of 5 to 10 years. And you referenced this even in, you know, what we've experienced the last 25 years. I absolutely unequivocally believe that you have to think through the customer lens and what's important and what's happening in their lifestyle. What are their priorities and how does that evolve? When I think about Saks OFF 5TH in particular, from a, you know, what should we expect? No question, and we've grounded it in our strategy, is that the online growth that we know has been predicted and is actually happening is how consumers are shopping and the ease in which, you know, we have 78% of our customers coming through a mobile device, and we're not optimized to a mobile device because we're still too stuck on a desktop. And so I think that we're not alone in that. And so how do you think about your digital capabilities that are driving a customer experience, what's important to them that's grounded in, you know, tech capabilities and leaders, you know, that whole labor force there that's going to allow to take you forward and also change.
Right.
So I see that as a critical element to really think about your digital capabilities, online experience, and how you're positioning yourself for agility and winning in the long term, because it's absolutely the customer's expectation. The other thing I would say is I think about Saks OFF 5TH, there's this still an unbelievable opportunity, as I said in the opening, within the off-price space that is not playing there.
Right.
And we believe that we have this huge opportunity to sort of step change our business through brand access, you know, having what customers want, filling out their wardrobes, you know, quadrupling our customer choice offering to be able to show up. And I think that while that absolutely applies to Saks OFF 5TH, I think the industry should be thinking about that as well. And then what the domino that happens with that is ensuring that your supply chain, distribution and logistics is what is also ready to build and scale to that level. Boy, listen, Amazon's kind of set some big standards.
Yes, they have. You know, the supply chain issue is a real issue. And we can take a whole half hour talking about that alone. But I mean, getting that down and kind of figuring that out and understanding where you are, where you need to be, and how you're going to get there, particularly as it relates to supply chain, is such a big part of managing in retail. But, you know, in thinking about managing in retail, I mean, if Paige were to answer the simple question, which I hope that she will, what excites you most about the future of retail?
What excites me the most about the future of retail, and I am going to sound repetitive, it is having a digitally native mindset. Think digital first. I grew up in traditional department store. I can see a four-way in my head, how I merchandised it, how I was going to buy it. And the reality is we've got to leap forward and think about our customers sitting on their couches, making their commute to work, having their phone in their hand wherever they go. And how do you show up as a retailer in a customer-centric mindset digitally first?
Yep. That is exciting. And we're getting there. It's an amazing journey. And speaking of journeys, Paige, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever received that's really kind of helped you throughout your career?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that the best advice that I have received is to be curious and have mentors. And said differently is, you can't know it all. It's literally not possible. And so I believe that the mentorship from a personal support system to a thinking about things differently, to continuous learning, and also having people tell you the truth to guide you in your direction. So I have had unbelievable mentors, friends that I still contact even in this role. One of my most favorite stories is we were struggling to source thermometers literally in April of 2020 so that we could ensure that our fulfillment center was open. And I called my friends in the industry that are competitors, and they gave me a link and a contact of where I could source them. And that was critical. There was no competitive advantage in that. It was the right thing to do, building that relationship. And it was most importantly, the right thing to do for our associates.
Amen. You know, I work in one of the most competitive industries in the world. And during the pandemic, and when you said that about the thermometers, this is how much of a geek I am. I got chills because the fact of the matter is everybody came together. I mean, it really just became about taking care of the associates and serving the consumer in a healthy, safe environment, getting them the things that they needed when they needed them, and putting that competitiveness aside, sitting across from each other virtually, and saying, yes, what are you doing that's working? Because we haven't figured this out yet. And they give you the map and you take it and you apply it and you succeed as a result of it. It was really phenomenal. And it's a great answer. Paige, I can't believe we're out of time. I'm going to talk to Jen. We're going to have you back. I've enjoyed this.
I love it. Let's
immensely.
Do it.
I would love it to do it again as well. So thank you for joining us on Retail Gets Real. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
And thank all of you all for listening to another episode. I should say it just the way I would say it if I was home in Georgia. Thank all y'all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. And you know we love to hear from you. So please send your feedback and comments to podcast@nrf.com. During this time of pandemic, I close by saying, once again, please stay safe, be well. This is Bill Thorne, and this is Retail Gets Real. Thanks again for listening.